You all in the name of Jesus Christ. And we often say that, and we often say that where two or three are gathered together, my name, there he is in our presence. That doesn't just happen in church, that happens at work too. Whenever there's two or three gathered together and at work in his name. And we can do that. We can gather at work in his name, and there he can be also. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord that he didn't allow me to be consumed this week. And that he didn't allow you to be consumed either, and that we are here again together as a high point in our week, whereas we battle through the temptations of trials of life and come together again in order to be built up, as the Bible calls it, the most holy faith. And, you know, God is seeking today, and he's looking for something. What is he looking for? The Bible says, and Jesus said it himself, he says that he is looking for worshipers. Not just worshipers that worship on Sunday. He's looking for somebody that worships him every day. You know that if you truly, truly are a worshiper of God, you don't come to church on Sunday just to worship. It is a reflection, is a highlight of worship that you've had all week. It is something you want to come and do together with brothers and sisters in Christ, although you've been doing it all by yourself all week, maybe with your family and friends. And yet today we come together and we consolidate as coals in a fire, as during the week that we are separated, we come together and we bring those coals of fire together and we take that time in order to worship together, and that's a beautiful thing. But I encourage you as you leave here this week or this morning and during the week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that when you rise up in the morning, you remember yourself, remind yourself that you are still a worshiper of Christ. You're still a worshiper of God. And that you don't need to wait for that time to worship God. Don't let anybody ever tell you when you worship God. It is not when the praise and worship team gets up on the stage that you start to worship God. No, nobody can tell you that. The only person that really tells you when to worship, and that is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that tells you at all times that we need to be worshiping him. Because the Bible tells us we need to worship God in spirit and in truth, Jesus' own words to the Samaritan woman at the well. Do you remember the very first time that you were amazed at God? Have you ever thought back to that moment when you realized you needed God and what that felt like to know that you're at the bottom of the barrel? You know, at the bottom of the barrel, that's where all the rotten potatoes are, and that's where we are. When we finally realize that we need God. And all of a sudden, we look up, and you know what they say, if you're at the bottom of a well, even during the middle of the day, you can see the stars. I don't want anybody of you to try jumping in a well just so you can see the stars, right? I don't want you to do that. But you know, sometimes in the darkest and hardest times of our lives, it's when we can see things out way above in the heavens, way higher than the earth. And sometimes in our lives, that's where we need to go again. God allows us to get to our low points, so remember to look up at him, the God that is in the heavens. Are you still amazed at God, at what he's doing in your life, and do you still thirst after God as a deer pants after the water? And I hope you do. God is still an almighty God. And today we're going to be looking at God as our soul keeper. And we're going to be looking at one of the 15 Psalms from Psalms 120 through 134 that the Jews sang, as they call these songs, the Psalms of Ascent. And these Psalms were the ones that they sang on their pilgrimage on the way to Jerusalem. And they might have even been on the Psalms that they called, that they sang as they came down from the Mount Zion. And maybe even sang some of these Psalms as they walked down the last steps to the temple. If you turn with me to Psalm 121, and this is the one we're going to be looking at today. And Jerusalem was built on a hill. And all those that lived in the villages around Jerusalem and Judea, and all the little villages, when they prayed, they would always turn towards Jerusalem. And so you can just imagine that after a year of worshiping and turning their faces to Jerusalem, that when it finally came to the time when they're going to make this pilgrim journey to Jerusalem, you can just imagine the emotional impact that it had on them, that all year long they prayed to Jerusalem, but now they're finally going. And for some of them, some of the families are probably bringing their children there for the very first time as Jesus went with his parents to Jerusalem when he was 12. And so as they were going, this was a time of celebration. The journey to Jerusalem was a time of celebration. And some of the Psalms, what they would do is they would, one part of the group, they would sing part of the song, and then the other part of the group, they would speak it back into their lives. And as they walked along, you hear this group sing one half of the verse, and the other group would sing the other half. And they go to the next verse, and one group would sing half of the verse, and the next group, the other half of the group, would sing the other half of the verse. And you can just imagine that for all these that are walking along, as they get closer and closer to Jerusalem, more and more people were coming out of the villages and meeting on this little path, going to Jerusalem. The path slowly gets wider and wider. And as they went, the more and more worshipers were coming onto the path, and the voices got louder and louder. And I can just imagine the moment when they topped the last rise, the last hill that was separating their eyesight from Jerusalem, and they come over and they see Jerusalem, the city that was set on a hill. I think it would be a great thing if we could all have experienced that. And this is something that Jesus experienced. From the age of 12 as he started to go to Jerusalem until the age of 30 when he entered into his ministry, this is something that he did every year with his parents. And so I think it's good that we go back and look at some of this history so we can understand and actually appreciate why these Psalms were written. As the person came into Jerusalem, one by one they stood before the high priest. And as they stood before the high priest and they made confession of their sins, and they had sacrifices that were made for them so that they would be cleansed. And as they began to speak and have fellowship with the priest there, Psalm 121 was the verse or the chapter that they used. The person would come before the priest, and they would start off with these two verses, and they said the first two verses here in Psalm 121, and they said this: I will lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes. And they would say the first two verses, and they would say, my help comes from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. And then the ministering priest would reflect back to them, and he would say to the worshiper that came to the temple, the priest would say, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee shall not slumber. And again, the worshiper starts to answer and starts to quote the next few verses. And if there was any doubt in the voice of the person that stood before the priest, the priest would echo back the last verses of God's promises inside these verses, so that when this person leaves the temple, that there is no doubt left inside that person's mind as to God's promises, and that whether or not God can hold them, their foot on the rock. It was a time of fellowship, it was a time of worship, and a time of being upbuilt and strengthened, until the next time they made that journey again, that journey of pilgrimage. How often do we have our eyes cast down, looking at the troubles of life? You know, life's troubles are always confusing. If you would be like Peter and standing on the waves of the sea as they were being in a great tumult, up and down and foaming, and you're looking away from Christ, and you look down at your feet, and all you see is a bunch of waves with absolutely no foundation, all moving. And so many times in our lives, that's kind of how we get. We look away from Christ and we look down at the troubles in life, and our eyes are cast down, and we start to sink in the waves of the sea. How many times are we like Peter? I believe what we need to do is what the psalmist does here in the first verse. He says, I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. If someone asked you how strong your help was, what would you use to explain and illustrate to that person how strong my help is. It is amazing the choice of words that the psalmist uses here in the second verse. He says, "My help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth." Whenever I was a little boy, and I sometimes we went to the city park and we would play on the playground, and sometimes we would fight for a swing, or we'd fight for going down the slide first, and we'd start pushing each other. And then one guy would say, "If you don't quit pushing me, I'm going to get my big brother on you." And I'd say, "Well, my big brother's bigger than your big brother." And later we found out that our big brothers were actually best friends, and so we couldn't use that anymore. But we keep getting to a bigger and bigger, "Well, my big brother, well, my dad will come beat your big brother." And that's how we went back and forth. Well, what if somebody would have come back and said, "Well, my help is God." Well, which one? Well, the ones that made the heavens and the earth. Now, how big can you get? That's as big as you can get. And the psalmist, he knows exactly where you can go, and that he's going to go to the biggest thing first thing. He's not talking about his dad or his big brother. He's talking about the helper that is the creator of the heaven and the earth. Can we outdo that? Can you say today that my helper, and then get bigger than what he just said here? I don't think you can. You cannot outdo what the psalmist just says here, that my help is the one that created the heavens and the earth. That is to the extent of anything and everything that existed. You know what? God goes on beyond that. God is not bound by boundary, not by time, and not by space, not by matter. God is far beyond any of that. And that is our help. The help that we often look away from. In the times of life when we should be looking at Him, when we should be looking at the hills from where our help comes, that's when we're looking down at the waves. My helper comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Why do we need sleep? Have you ever studied why we need sleep? Our physical bodies need sleep because whenever we sleep, our mind actually starts to organize our thoughts during the day, our short-term and long-term memory, and starts to organize based on the emotion that we had with that's tied to each and every thought. And the ones that are most important to us are kept, and the ones that were very shallow and not needed, that the mind actually disposes of those. That's what's happening while we're sleeping. Another thing that happens is during the day, we cut ourselves, we bruise ourselves, and we have so many different things that happens to our skin, our body tissue, and while we're sleeping, all of this is being repaired. That's why we get tired. The sun beats down on us, takes a lot of stuff out of our skin. But you know, we don't have a God that has to have his thoughts organized. We don't have a God that cut himself during the day. We don't have a God that got tired during the day and that he needs his muscle repaired. We don't have a God like that. We have a God that's in the heavens, far above anything that we have ever seen and will see until we get to meet him face to face. And he's always there. He's always there to be our help. He is a mighty and powerful God. You know, even if a mighty man, here today, if we wanted to put our trust inside of mighty man, even a mighty man, a strong man, sometime needs to sleep. And any wise enemy would know that if this guy that I'm going up against is more powerful than I am, all I need to do is wait for the moment that he sleeps and then I can bind him. And once the strong man is bound, he can do with us what he wants. But our strong man, the Lord God from heaven, never sleeps and never slumbers. And after the priest and the worshiper would be going back and forth, the priest would say that he will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The worshiper comes back and he says this. And he agrees with what the priest says. And he says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleepeth." He's agreeing with what the priest said, and he's not just tying it together with a person. He's tying it together with the whole body, as worshipers. He's saying all of Israel. There was once a young man, he rented an apartment. And on the first floor of his apartment, there was an old retired choir director. This choir director was so old he couldn't walk anymore. He was confined to a wheelchair. Each morning, the young man got up and went downstairs to have breakfast with this old man. Each morning, this young man asked the old man how his day was going. And every morning, he got the same answer. He would say, the tenor down the hall doesn't know how to sing. He sings flat. And the piano in the other room needs to be tuned. And every morning, the old man would reach into his pocket, and he would pull out a tuning fork, and he would strike it on his wheelchair, and he would say, "That, my friend, is a middle C. It was a middle C yesterday, it was a middle C today, and it'll be a middle C for 1,000 years. But you know what? We can up that just a little bit. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is more consistent than any tuning fork that has ever been created throughout eternity. A tuning fork will come to an end, but our God will never come to an end. And any time your foot is going to slip, you can lift your eyes to the hills from where your help comes. From the same God that has been the same yesterday, the same God that has been today, and the same God that will be around forever. And that is the God that is your help. And that is the God that every one of the days that we lift up our eyes to, He will be there to help us. Not only does the Lord keep our back, that He protects and He preserves our strength so we don't become weary. Every good soldier knows that he needs a soldier that keeps his back, but he also knows that he needs a soldier, even one of the best, that will be there beside him on his strong side to protect his right hand. And for that, he would get one of the most closest companions that he could. Once you take away a soldier's strength, and that is in his right hand, then he becomes weary. And so he would always place someone he trusts on his right-hand side. Verse 5, he says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." You know how the Jews interpret this verse? This is how they understand it. And once we look at it, we're going to appreciate it more, because I do. He says that God is closer than the shadow on your right hand. Can you get any closer than the shadow on your right hand? So many times in the trials of our life, it's kind of like a hot summer day. You can just imagine, we're out in the desert of Arizona, hadn't had any water for a day or two, and we're walking along, and we're thirsty, and we're hot, and we have the sun beating down upon ourselves, and all we think of is shade and water and food. And we think that there is just no way that I'm going to get any shade. But you know, even in the darkest of our trials, if you simply raise your hand, all we see when we look down is the sun and all the trials that's beating down on us. But if you simply raise your hand and look underneath, there's always going to be a shadow. And God is closer than the shadow that we have upon our hands. Have you ever tried to separate your shadow from yourself? When I was a little kid, I read a book, The Boy That Lost His Shadow. But you know, with God, you cannot do that. You cannot lose God. I can just imagine now that after church, all the youth boys are going to go home. They're going to go to Cabela's. They're going to buy all the brightest lights they can, and they're going to jump on a trampoline with lights on all sides of them and jump in the air just to see if they can't get to the point where there will be absolutely no shadow, just so they can prove me wrong. And I hope you try it, because inside your nose and inside your ears, there's still going to be shadows. You cannot do this. But you know what? One thing you cannot do is, someone's got their eyes on the Lord, you cannot separate that person from the God that is their help. It is not possible. As long as we look to God and we cry out to Him, it is not possible to separate us from our God. It's not possible. Not only does God have our back, he also preserves our strength. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day or the moon by night. You know, how many times have you felt that burning on the hand, on your hand, and say, ah, there is no shade? And you thought to yourself, where is God? God has always been there. It's just you haven't been looking for him. We have a story in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. And this is where Joshua, the high priest, is standing before the angel of the Lord. And it says there, and Satan was standing at his right hand. It's interesting that Satan knows where he needs to stand, right? He stands beside our greatest strength. He wants to take that out. If he can take away our greatest strength, he'll take us down. But say Satan is standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord says to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. And he says, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem, he rebukes thee. And then he says this, he says, is not this a brand plucked up out of the fire? Now what does that mean? You know, as children of God, that we bear the signature of God in our lives. He says, is this not a brand plucked up out of the fire? I don't know how many of you have ever been to a place where they were branding cattle. And if you would take one of those brands and lay it aside after a while, it would cool down. And then you try to take this brand and use it to brand a cow, it's useless. You know, when we turn our eyes away from God, it's like taking a brand out of the fire and laying it aside. And eventually we start to cool down. And we are not useful in the hand of God. In our own strength, we try and impact other people's lives. And there's no singeing. There's no more holiness. There's no more light. There's no more salt. But what does God do with us? It says here in verse 3, he says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he stood before the angel. And he answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said to him, behold, I have caused the iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. This is what God does to us when our brand has been taken out of the fire, when you have turned your eyes away from him. And he says, and I said, let them set a fair miter upon his head. So they set a fair miter upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua and said, this is, he's challenging him. Zechariah 3 verse 7. This is the verse I want to go to. The angel of the Lord says to this, if thou wilt walk in my ways and wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also be a judge. You shall also judge my house and also shall keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among them that stand by. He's giving us a consequence and a condition. He says, if you will walk in my ways and if you will keep my charge, what does he say? Then you will be a judge. I'm going to put you as a prominent and important person in my courts. How many of us would like to be an important person in the courts of the Lord? During the day, whenever all the people were coming to Jerusalem, all the pilgrims, that God would say, I want to use you. I want to use you because you have been a brand in the fire. You have always turned your eyes back to me. You have always taken your filthy garments and laid them aside, so I clothed you with clean garments. And because that you always choose to come back to me, because you always come back and turn your eyes to me, that I am going to put your brand back into the fire. And because I'm putting that brand back in the fire, when you come into contact with other people in this world, that you're going to make impact with every single one. It's going to singe. People are going to see the holiness of God in your life because you have confessed your sin. You have forsaken your sin. You have not loved the world. You have loved the Lord God because he is your help. And because of that, I'm going to make you effective once again. I'm not done with you. I'm taking away your dirty clothes and I'm giving you righteous clothes. I'm putting a crown on your head because you're mine, because you look back at me. You know, Satan is always trying to resist us and take down our greatest strength. But the Lord is standing even at his right hand, and he is protecting us. He is rebuking Satan because he is our mediator. The day is coming when the Lord is going to do away with this accuser once and for all. We are promised in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. This is what John saw, and he says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, the kingdom of our God, that's possessive there, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Are we looking forward to that time whenever God is going to cast aside our accuser once and for all? That never again will you be accused in your conscience or in the presence of God. Never again. We live daily with a conscience where we are plagued with this thought of the accuser saying, as Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. He says to us, if you are a Son of God, do this or do that. He was always trying to get us to prove ourselves, and whenever we try to prove ourselves, we mess up. Instead, when Satan comes to us and says, if you are a Son of God, we just need to say, I'm going to look to the hills from where my help comes. Because my God is the God that created the heavens and the earth, and my God is the God that put Jesus Christ on the cross in order to pay for my sin, to redeem me from my sin, so that you can no longer have dominion in my life. That's the God of our help. And that is the answer that we simply need to give, is a confession of what God has done in our lives. When you get discouraged, you need to look to the Lord. When you have problems during the day, look to the Lord. When you make plans and you mess your own plans up, you need to look to the Lord. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Psalm 121, verse 7. I'm going to say it again. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, every good shepherd knows that he needs a safe place for his sheep to rest during the night. And he knows that once the sheep feel secure, the sheep will get the best rest. And Jesus Christ, he is our rest. Once you enter into the fold and you realize that he is the one that makes you secure and that the Almighty God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, he is the one that is our protector, that we can find rest for our soul. And in the morning, the shepherd who is the door, he rises up. And he leads us out to pasture to feed. Every good shepherd knows we need rest. And every good shepherd knows we need food. And every good shepherd knows when to do which. And Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The Lord knows when we need shelter and rest. He is our rock. He is our strong tower. He is our refuge. Jesus also knows that we need to be fed better than we know it needed ourselves. The Lord shall preserve the going out and the coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 27, verse 5 says, in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. When the attack comes from above, from Satan, he hides us in his secret tent. When the attack comes from below, from people that are being used by Satan, he sets us high upon a rock. One way or another, God is going to protect us from those that are coming against us. In our lives and our challenges that come from above or below, God is always there, whether it's spiritual warfare or personal attacks from those that don't know the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, he says, in all the drink and all to drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank that from that spiritual rock that followed them. We think of a rock as a stationary thing that always stays in one place. And if that rock is going to be stable, it can't move. But the Bible says here that they all drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. You know, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, and you fall into sin, and you call out to Him, He's always going to be there to stand and put you on a solid place. It's not like you have to go running back for a million miles if you've run a million miles away from God. As soon as you turn around and repent, He's right there. That's our God. He's a solid rock. But He's a solid rock that you can thirst for. He's a solid rock that you can drink from. And He's a solid rock that will always be there when you turn around. He's just asking us to repent and confess our sin. And He will be faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin and to forgive us. Jesus Christ is the rock of salvation. Whenever we need help, He's there. Anytime we lift our eyes to the hills and cry, He will be there. Every time we confess our sin, He will be there. Anytime you remember that you've turned away from Him, He will allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life so you remember Him, and He will be there. Every time you come to face against sin, and you look upon your right hand, He will be there. Just as the faithful priest always remembered the worshipers, that God will not suffer your foot to be moved. That there is coming the day when we enter into the new Jerusalem and we come to face with our high priest. And He won't just quote to us the promises, He will fulfill them. The question is, are you going to remain steadfast and look to the hills until He comes? Let's all kneel to pray.